Grace be yours and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dearly loved by God in Christ Jesus, in the verses just before our text that I'll read in a minute, St. John tells us that there were some Greeks who were believers in the Old Testament, and they had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast, the Passover. We pastors, some of us, use their question when they got to Jerusalem in a bit of a play on words under a particular circumstance. Some of us, if we hear a sermon and the pastor, the preacher, never mentions Jesus by name, or the entire sermon is on Christian living and completely ignores our Lord's cross, we shout out quietly under our breaths when we would actually like to shout out loudly, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." That was the statement that these Greeks made when they came into Jerusalem. Believers in the Old Testament, no doubt they had heard about the coming Messiah and the person of Jesus, and they wanted to meet him. And we learn that Jesus' disciples, Andrew and Peter, relayed that message to Jesus, that these Greeks wanted to see him. And in his response, Jesus gives us our, "I tell you the truth," for this evening. And in that, he tells us what we should see in him. Not just that we see him and see the things that happened to him, particularly in the Passion season, but to see what that all means for us. And Jesus uses the example of a kernel of wheat that falls into the ground and dies in germination. And then from that single seed sprouts heads of wheat with many, many seeds that can be replanted. Our text for this evening is recorded in John chapter 12, and we begin reading at verse 23. Jesus replied, and this is his answer to Andrew and Peter, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour." This is our text. Our Lord Jesus Christ wants us to know, first of all, that out of death comes life. Jesus used the example of a kernel of wheat, but I want you to think this evening instead of corn. Now, climatic conditions, sun, rain, temperature, can really vary the crop. But what would your guess be to the number of kernels on an ear of corn? How many kernels do you think there are on a cob of corn? Well, I'll tell you when my answer is right because I checked with Bill. It's about 700. There's about 700 individual kernels of corn on an ear of corn. And where did they all come from? They all came from one of those single kernels that had been planted in the ground. It died in germination, sprouted, and it grew, and it produced these many, many kernels, not on just one ear, but in the entire crop. Jesus was born to die. The purpose for Jesus' birth was his death on the cross. We might say of us that we're born to die too. In fact, the process starts almost immediately. I'm reading a historical novel right now about Doc Holliday. If you know anything about him, you know that he was deathly sick from the time that he was very young with tuberculosis. And the author said he was really born to die because he began dying from tuberculosis very early in his life. We are born to die. The purpose of our life, though, is not to die. Dying is the result of sin in our lives. Now, think about Jesus again, that he was born to die. In the Garden of Eden, when God created Adam, we read that he breathed into Adam the breath of life, not the breath of death. But flip that around when it comes to Jesus. The eternal Son of God became a human being. When he was born, even though he was already living from the time of conception, but when he was born of the Virgin Mary, he took that first breath of life as the Son of Man. So that at the end of his life, as the Son of Man, he then could breathe out his last breath into death to pay for our sins. Jesus would die for that purpose, and he states it. He knew what it was. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Jesus did not want to be a single kernel on that ear of eternal life. He wanted your kernel and my kernel to line up there right with him, like kernels on an ear of corn, to be right there next to each other, to be right there in fellowship, to be lined up one like the other. That's why Jesus died, to produce the crop of the church, to be the founding seed of all believers in him. There are many times and many ways that we line up with Jesus in that fellowship, that we follow him in line with him as the kernels of the church in that one kernel who has died. We line up with Jesus every Sunday when we come to church to worship rather than sleeping in. We line up with Jesus when we are married and we make our vows to our spouses and we continue to be faithful to our spouses and line up in that faithfulness in Christ, rather than having our married eyes roving and looking somewhere else, away from our marriage. We and our children line up with Jesus at the baptismal font. We line up with Jesus, and he's always right there with us in our times of every trouble. And we line up with him so that we are not tempted to get into trouble by getting out of line and following our own desires and our own sinful urgings rather than following him. Like peas in a pod, like kernels on an ear of corn, like that wheat kernel that falls into the ground and produces a crop of many kernels, Jesus craves that closeness with him for us. Jesus wanted to bring us life, to give us life. And in order to do that, he died. He came to die so that out of his death would come our new lives of faith, our new spiritual lives connected to him. There are many things that want to separate us from Christ. Still remember growing up, we raised animals, and my father would buy this dried out corn, and one of the jobs for us kids was to run those dried up corn cobs through a sheller. I still remember turning it, and as the cob and his ear went down through it, it separated all those kernels from the ear that had run through that. Jesus died to pay for that sin that separates us from him and that wants to pull us away from him. In his death, he has given us that new life by which we are in fellowship with him. Or as he says, whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will follow. My Father will honor the one who serves me. We serve our Lord. We follow him because we're connected to him by that new life that he has given us. That is his life. Jesus knew that he would die for our sins, and he knew that it was not going to be any picnic to do that. We read tonight that he was flogged a couple of times, spit on, mocked, abused, later nailed to a cross to suffer greatly there. Jesus knew all of that was coming, even his death. But he didn't try to escape. He was determined. He was resolute. He said to his disciples, "Now my heart is troubled." He was troubled under that weight and burden of our sins. But what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. I tell you the truth, Jesus says, if one dies, it produces life for many. Jesus shows us that out of death comes life. But he also shows us that out of life comes death. After giving his illustration of the wheat, Jesus continues, "I tell you the truth," and says, "The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." If you're like me, you don't love everything about your life. But we love life. We love life because it's God's gift to us. It's our time of grace to come to know Jesus as our Savior. It's our time of grace to enjoy the wonderful blessings that he gives us, particularly in the means of grace. What Jesus means here is that if I love my life here, particularly myself, more than I love him, then I am going to lose my life. Now, Jesus doesn't mean here, when he says, if a man loves his life, he will lose it, Jesus is not talking about dying, about losing your life at the end of life. He's saying, if you love this world and you love yourself more than me, The life you're going to lose is your eternal life. The life you're going to lose is your spiritual life. The life of your soul is what you are going to lose. But then he adds, if a man hates his life, then he will, the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And there Jesus means, if I hate the things of this world in the sense that I don't love them, I don't worship them, I don't rely on them, if I love God more than anything else, if I lose that my life by loving Him, then the life that I lose that dies is my sinful nature. So he says, whoever hates his life in this world, and that's my natural life, that's my sinful nature, that's my love for sin. If I hate that, then I will keep my soul for eternal life. Then I will not lose my soul for eternity. Imagine a life where you can say no to the temptations to sin. Imagine a life where you can chase the devil away even when he attacks you like a roaring lion. Imagine a life where your death is the entrance into something that is truly grand rather than the exit from something that only appears to be grand. That is the life that we gain in Christ. We have that life. And as we have that life, what dies? My sinful desires. My giving in to the temptations to sin. We sang about it in our sermon hymn. If those lusts, if those desires, if those evils come into my life, we die to them. We die to them in the new life of that new man that now fills our hearts. When I lose my life of my old Adam, I am free to receive and to have that new life, a life of service to my Savior who died for me. We stand on the brink of Holy Week. Next week is Holy Week. And with the Greeks, we say, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." And we're going to see Jesus, and we're going to see Him really in a lot of different ways, aren't we? We're going to see Him humbly, yet gloriously riding into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. We're going to see Him graciously hand to His disciples and us His true body and blood in and behind the bread and wine and say, "Take and eat, take and drink for the forgiveness of sins." We will see Him bound, on trial, and nailed to a tree. But remember, Jesus says, "When you see me, I want you to see what it means. Don't look at just the outward things, but look and see what it means." And what it means is that if one dies, there is life for many. It means out of death, there is life. And out of life, there is the death of our old self. I tell you the truth. Amen.